She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. I don't think they sneeze from their testicles.
Not all men are scary.
Like, crime here doesn't happen often.
He does wish violence upon me sometimes.
Learning to walk with your keys between your fingers.
I got the willies now just thinking of it. You have me laughing before I even can finish the entry.
I don't know why you're laughing. I'm the one dying.
You're not dying.
The dog won't leave me alone. The dog who is obsessed with my husband and doesn't give a shit about me is following me around the house today.
For context, guys. First, she said we were going to be on Judge Judy because this podcast is going to obviously end in a horrible crashing flame.
Well, now we're bringing money into it. That just scares me.
I get it, baby. I really do. I think we're going to be good. I think you and I have a really good solid bond. I think we're okay.
I think I need to stop opening and closing this marker before my husband kills me.
That's a good idea. And two, yeah. I don't think you're dialing.
I might kill me from the clicking.
No, if he's going to kill anybody, it's me. He does wish violence upon me sometimes.
Yeah, he does. So just for some little more context, we started a Patreon. We are trying to market Book Besties now as, you know, a legit podcast. Subscriptions start at $3 a month, and you don't get any bells and whistles for $3 a month. You get to say you support Book Besties, which is great. And if every person that listened to us paid that $3 a month, we could pay the bills that it costs us to make this content, which is really our goal.
Yeah. We just want to keep the lights on and stay green.
Yeah. We don't, it's not like we're like, you know, whatever.
We're not international superstars. We're not trying to do a world tour.
No. This is going to ruin the world tour.
Okay.
But we also have other options on there that you do get bells and whistles. First of all, we are going to be adding ads to the podcast. And that will be happening soon. So we're pre-warning you now. On Patreon, you can pay $5 a month and receive the ads-free version of Book Besties. Mm-hmm. Which is not bad. We give at least 4 episodes a month. Yeah. If you decide you want to turn it off over the summer because we don't get episodes, like, God, I can't stop you from doing that. You do, you boo. Yeah. But anyway, that's where we start at. And then we have a Book Besties book club kit. And Molly is going to offer some additional perks for a few extra bucks that you can get the Book Besties book club kit plus food and drink recipes to complement the book.
And I'm known for my cocktail recipes, guys.
You really are.
Mm-hmm. I am known for my cocktail recipes. I call myself a kitchen bartender, but I'm really good at cocktails.
And yeah, you really are.
It's one of my secret skills. But I'm also really good in the kitchen. So
I have a copy of the book Tequila Mockingbird.
I do too. I've had several friends in Texas bring me cocktail books, like, because, you know, people know I love books and they know I love booze. So
yeah, I haven't had a drink since New Year's Eve 2020.
Oh,
rolling into 2021.
I'm drinking less, but I'm drinking still.
I'm California sober.
Yeah, same. Matt recently, so Deep Eddie's has come out with a pineapple vodka and it's fucking delicious. And I got a passion fruit liqueur and I made these little cocktails with them. Oh my God.
So you get it at the dispensary?
No, I went to the liquor store for these.
Oh, I thought you said they were edible.
No, cocktails.
Oh,
wait, Deep Eddie's. I said Eddie's.
That's what I heard. And Deep, I thought Eddie's edibles.
Is the liquor brand.
I don't even know.
It's a vodka company out of Austin.
Okay.
But yeah, Deep Eddie's does sound like a weed dispensary.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Deep Eddie's, yeah!
Dude, that was vulgar.
Shut up.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So go find our Patreon. Yeah. It's Book Besties Podcast. We'll link it below. It's also on all of our socials. It's on our link tree.
It's not hard to find.
Huh?
It's not hard to find. You can Google it too, guys.
Yeah. It'll be on our website probably today, the day we're filming, because I just haven't put it on there yet. But yeah. So go support us. We have been doing this for free since we launched in 2021, and
we know you love us back.
Yeah, but honestly, like,
we appreciate you guys is what
right saying. Like, if everybody went on and did the $3, I that would be enough to pay the bills, and like, that's really all I care about. Like, I don't necessarily care about us making money. This is not my job.
So guess where we went yesterday?
Where?
Joann Fabrics.
I heard they're going out of business, right?
Yeah. Well, we had given Livy a gift certificate for Christmas because she's like into crocheting. She only had $30 left on it, but guess what? They won't let her use it anymore. After Friday, they're not honoring. After last Friday, they're no longer honoring gift certs. And it wasn't like it was on the news or publicized. They told us as we were checking out.
Did they go bankrupt? Is that why they're closing?
They're going under.
And so that's what happens. They can't honor it once they've been sold to the like liquidation company. Yeah. And
they're like shipping everything from the warehouses to the buildings. And like the chick that was checking us out says that they are just taking in new stock, putting it on the shelves, discounting it and selling it and going back. Like that's all they're doing. It's just getting rid of all the stock. And then when all the stock's out of the warehouses, they're closing down.
Yep.
And that's sad. Was that Tom sneezing?
Why did you link this out? Like, everybody needs to know about it.
My husband. Joey! What the fuck, Matt? Where is that coming from? Your testicles? Like, why are we sneezing so hard?
I don't think they sneeze from their testicles. I don't think.
It is deep. It starts down in their soul. To the base of who these humans are. It's
like spermy snot.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We have got to get on track.
Oh, on track. Well, I think you're going to regret that when we talk about what this book is this week. Guys, this week's book is The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James. This is our first like spooky book of the season.
I think this might be the only one we have on this season because we typically keep most of them to the fall.
Well, the Academy for Villains is supposed to be dark too.
Isn't it Academy for Liars?
That's it. Sorry.
But it's dark, but it's dark fantasy. It's dark academia, which is this is like real murder shit. Like, I feel like there's probably
meets horror.
I feel like there's probably like a documentary on it.
Oh, yeah. This has happened somewhere. This has to have.
Yeah.
This has to have. Would you like a synopsis?
Yep.
Okay. The year is 1982. Viv Delaney just wants to prove to her mom that the rest of her family can make it out on her... Nope. Viv Delaney just wants to prove to her mom and the rest of her family she can make it on her own in New York City. But now she is hitchhiking her way there, and she doesn't know what she's... And she knows she's going the wrong way. Why can't I talk? When she finally gets out of this stranger's car, she's at the Sundown Motel in Fells, New York. This little town somewhere between Rochester and New York City has nothing going for it but the sundown. Viv stays and becomes the night clerk at the Sundown Motel. Some odd things keep happening at night, but she tries to brush it off. Then she starts digging into the murders that are happening in Fell.
Murder.
Carly is in Fell, New York, and working at the night shift at the Sundown Motel, but the year is 2017. Carly has made her way to Fells looking for her Aunt Viv Delaney, who went missing in 1982. But as Carly starts to dig and work at the Sundown, not all is what it seems. There is a lot of spooky shit in this book, and I'm not talking about the hotel. Let's take a stab at these questions.
I'm kind of mad at you for this book.
Are you? Why? Because it
I said on like a previous episode that I was ready for something that wasn't romance because I had only read romance or romantasy since November and like my brain was mushy. But I don't like scary books. I thought, haunted motel. I don't believe in ghosts. We've talked about that on the show before. Right. I do believe in evil spirits. I do believe in demons. But I don't believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how scary this book would be. And this is probably the scariest book, in my opinion, that we've read. Mm-hmm.
It's because of the realism.
Yes.
It's because of the
realism. I don't believe in ghosts, but I 100% believe in men hurting women because they can.
100%.
100%.
And I think that's, but that's, I think, Simone St. James' point, though, right?
It's absolutely her point.
And I've been wanting to put her on pod for a hot minute. So this will be a good talk, though.
Yeah, let's go with it.
Simone St. James is giving us historical fiction with horror and mystery in The Sundown Motel. What do you think of her writing?
Okay, so even though I did not like this book because it scared the shit out of me, she is an incredible writer. And I can honestly say that if you like thrillers, if you like paranormal, if you like murder mysteries, like this is a really good book and you will like this. And I posted about this on our TikTok because I always post a monthly recap, and for February I read 9 books, and so I posted my recap and somebody commented that Simone St. James was one of their favorite thriller writers, and like I wrote back and I was like, I gave it, I know this is a question later, but I gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
I know.
And I did that because the book is worth 4 stars. But my personal feelings on it are I don't want to read her again because she scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will read her again. If you put her on in the pod again, I will read her because her writing is phenomenal. And amazing. Like, we talk a lot about how we like rate based on vibes. I did not rate this one on vibes because I couldn't. Because the vibe for me is it's not my cup of tea. But this is a good fucking book.
Oh my fucking God. The vibe here is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, what is going on? This woman took like an obsession that all women have with true crime. And she goes, look, be careful. This is fucking scary. Don't play with fire.
It reminded me of a conversation I had recently with a friend who has a kiddo who's soon to go to college. And my thoughts on areas where you should avoid and not being alone and learning to walk with your keys between your fingers so that if you have to punch, you will cause more damage. These are not things that boys learn.
I know. I am.
So one of the things that drives me crazy is when people say boys will be boys. Actually, someone said that to me today about my boys. And I was like, no. I don't like that expression because it gives men the opportunity to say, well, I couldn't help it on things that are, you can fucking help it. Like, I'm sorry.
We need, as women in general, need to stop apologizing. We apologize too much as a gender.
Yeah, we do.
But here's the thing that, since we're on this topic, I do a reminder course for the Big Girls, and I call it a course because we go over self-defense constantly. I talk about different parts of the body that you can use to harm other people. When I dropped, because I take Courtney to and from when she comes to visit, as I'm leaving Courtney, who is a grown child who knows how to take care of herself, she travels internationally alone, I go through my steps. I go, do this, do this. If something happens, you scream mom as loud as you can because 12 women will be right by your side.
Yes. And it's not to say that boys and men aren't targets of violence they are too.
Yeah. But
the statistics of people harming women, of the men numbers harming don't lie, women. Guys.
The numbers don't lie.
Basically, kind of the big premise of this book, I mean, it's wrapped in this horror, thriller, paranormal. Yeah. It's kind of all those mixed together. The idea is you don't want to be like her.
Right.
You have a buddy. You don't go out at night alone.
This is like a, this
you
is
don't
like
work a, it alone.
But that's also what the Coast Guard used to tell me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't go anywhere without a grown up or somebody will take you.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I work in an incredibly small town. Like, I don't, like, crime here doesn't happen often. I mean, it really doesn't. And if it does, it's so fucking minor.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of my coworkers as we were leaving. I was telling this, he's new. And I was telling him, when you work with me, we park on this side of the building so we can leave together. When you work with our other coworker, you park on that side of the building because that's where she is. So you can walk with her. And I said, I know this is a small town and we don't have a lot of crime stats, but you don't want to be one of them.
No.
So here's, just park on the side that we park on so we can all walk out together.
It's so hard to like, we'll get into it. We'll keep talking about it as we go. We follow dual timelines throughout this novel.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we here in the past at Book Besties have called out authors for this not working or helping the story move along.
Mm-hmm.
Does this work in Sundown?
Yeah. Yeah. The idea that Carly, by the way, I don't think that's her name. I know that's her name in the book is Carly. But that's mm-hmm. not her name. I don't know why.
It didn't work.
It just wasn't her name. I can't tell you.
It was like she should have been Amanda, Samantha, Susan. No,
2017. So she should have been like, I don't know, something with a Lee at the end. I don't know.
Molly?
Wait, Carly is something with an Lee at the end. Never fucking mind. It still doesn't work. I don't know why, but it's not her name. oh my gosh. All right, so back to the point of the question. I've lost her now. It worked because Carly lost her mom and then wanted to solve this mystery of right. the missing aunt who had gone missing when her mom because was a kid.
It plagued the family.
Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of the story we read with Addison, which obviously is not a horror story, but The Light of Luna Park, trying to figure out who her mom really was and uncovering this mystery that her mom was not who she thought she was, that she was not who she thought she was. So there's elements of that, but I can imagine Carly feeling, I've lost my mom. I'm down to just my brother. I want to know about my family, the family that no one would talk about. And that was Viv.
Yeah.
Viv's story. So they, and we read the audiobook, both of us did, mm-hmm. and they have dual narration in there. And the chapters that are Viv's point of view is one narrator, and then Carly's point of view is another narrator.
Which they did a great job.
Such a great job. Both of them were phenomenal. Viv, the actress, the audiobook narrator who is covering her scenes, did a phenomenal job sounding like...
She was from the 80s.
Like she, yes, but also that she was young and spiraling.
Yeah.
Like she's yeah. still a young woman.
Right. What,
she's like 17 or 18 when she leaves home, right? Like
19.
Okay, so she's young. But as the paranoia starts increasing, as she starts continuing down this rabbit hole of discovering who killed all these women, mm-hmm. especially the scene where she's talking to Alma, the police officer, and she's like, just listen. Like, I just need you to listen. Like, I felt her panic.
Yeah, and that panic,
mm-hmm.
It bleeds into Carly too,
mm-hmm.
because when Carly starts losing sleep
mm-hmm.
and Viv is losing sleep and they're both working nights and the hotel's fucking with them,
mm-hmm.
you can just feel like the anxiety mm-hmm. in this book slowly percolates.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point of this, right? We're supposed to feel the sense of urgency with the girls.
And I think you can see that all these many years later,
mm-hmm.
Carly still had ingrained in her and young women still had ingrained in them that you don't leave the house by yourself, that you don't go out at night by yourself, that you don't trust men. And, it, you know, like, I don't know, just even comparing the two timelines, what the fuck had changed?
Look, I grew up in a town very similar to Fell. There's mm-hmm. a lot of towns like that in upstate New York. There's mm-hmm. a lot. We're going to talk about this more when we have Emma on, because Bold Moves has a really good conversation about back home and what it's like and mm-hmm. the drugs and whatnot. But the point here is the vibe doesn't change.
No.
It actually gets worse as these towns get worse and more desolate.
Yeah.
So the town Carly in is actually scarier than the town freaking Viv was in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking weird. Awful.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Great. We start early in this novel not feeling safe.
Yeah.
As soon as Viv gets into a stranger's car in 1982, like he's 40 years old and he's putting his hands on her. It's gross. Mm-hmm. This book continues with this theme throughout this novel. We'll talk more about the murders later in later questions. Mm-hmm. How do you feel Simone St. James did getting across the feeling most women have not feeling safe in places we should? What do you think about the bigger conversation about safety of women the author is trying to create for readers?
Yeah. All of that is why I genuinely feel this book gets rated so highly, in my opinion. Because even though I felt very uncomfortable and this is not my genre, she did a phenomenal job.
Oh, yes.
Setting that scene, setting that pace, that Viv is kind of naive.
I'm just going to hitchhike
until I get to New York City. And she's halfway the opposite direction of New York City.
Before she realizes it.
Wait a minute. We're not even going in the right direction anymore.
Yeah.
And the fact that the man let her off, like let her out of the car, is incredible. And she realizes that. But I don't think she truly realizes it until she starts learning the history of Fell and how many women have been murdered.
Right. Right. But that also makes me question how many other crazy gross cities are like this in town.
Do you know the story? I don't even know when this was from, but there was a woman hitchhiking and she got in the car with a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like 20 some odd years later that she was finally found because they kidnapped her and kept her as a sex slave under the bed.
That's awful.
There's a like X-Files episode that was kind of loosely based on it, but it was like absolutely like this happened to this woman. I'll try to find the article about it and put it in the links below. But like, yeah, I mean, hitchhiking in general is really dumb. Don't do that.
Can we just say this blankly, guys? No one should be hitchhiking.
I don't care what gender you are or what age you are. You should not be hitchhiking.
Do not get in cars with strangers.
Do not get in cars with strangers.
I can't believe we have to say this in 2025.
Although now we literally pay to get in cars with strangers because of Uber. Actually, there was a young woman at my library last week who asked mm-hmm. me if I would walk out with her because she had called an Uber for the first time ever. She had never done that.
Oh.
And she just wanted somebody to see her get in the car because she felt so nervous.
I get that.
And she was like, I picked somebody that had a really, really good rating. And I know this is a small town, but like, it's a man. Like that was her words, but it's a man. That's not okay. That we have to feel so fucking unsafe.
Yeah.
It's not okay. Telling everyone right now, I'm raising my boys to be safe.
Oh, I know. I know your boys are. And I'm raising my girls to prepare for the worst because
I'm raising my boys to be safe. I'm doing that with Tom because he's a safe man.
He is.
Indeed
he do. He is.
Yeah.
Carly's family is all gone, minus her brother and her aunt who went missing in 1982. I want to actually add to this question when we're done with this part of the conversation. Carly's family is all gone, minus her brother and her aunt, who went missing in 1982. She decides, out of grief, to come to Fells and pick, and pretty much falls into her aunt's old life in 2017. Mm-hmm. She has a roommate who is also slightly obsessed with true crime, and they start digging like Viv. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Carly?
So I do think that her pure motives were grief. Like, she mm-hmm. dropped out of school. Like she was in college and she dropped out of college and her brother was like, this is dumb. You can't do this. But her brother was like a whole adult with a family. And she was like, no, I need to do this. What was her roommate's name? Her name escapes me.
I can't think of it right now. Let me look.
Well, her roommate was sort of the perfect balance to her.
Yeah.
Because Carly was looking to solve the mystery of how her aunt went missing. Mm-hmm. But her roommate was looking to solve the mystery of the town that she grew up in. That there were a lot of dead women, I think was one of the things that she actually says. There's a lot of dead women in Fell.
There's a lot of dead women in Fell. I'm looking. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Heather? Whose roommate's Heather?
I think that is Viv's roommate. I wonder
Nick?
If I can Google it faster than you can find it.
Martin, Eli. I think it's Heather. I think her roommate's Heather. Yes, yeah. Heather said clicking with
Carly's
the
Heather's the roommate for Carly.
Yeah. So while we're talking about the grief and the way the family handled the missingness, what was weird to me is we don't talk about when Viv goes missing and her parents, her sister doesn't come looking for her. Her mom doesn't come looking for her. It just kind of acted like, oh, she goes missing from the town and that's that.
Well, I think, so setting this in 1982 mm-hmm. and knowing that Viv basically ran away, she was going to New York City, losing contact with her family, that feels very realistic. They didn't need to, like, assume she was dead. She could have been living her best life in New York City. Yeah. They didn't know.
That's true.
The fact that she remains that no one documents that she's missing for, like, 4 days. That's fucking insane. Yeah.
But, you know, I think about that. Like, what if Matt was on nights and the girls are at college and we're just on completely different schedules? Mm-hmm. How long would it take for him to notice I was missing?
I would notice. You would be out of the group chat and Katie and I would be busting down your door.
That's fucking hella true.
Listen, I have overslept on more than one occasion on a Saturday morning.
God. And
Katie
freaked out.
Starts texting my husband.
We worry. Let us
I need you to go make sure she's breathing. I love that about her.
Yeah, she's never going to let us drown. I love that.
Yeah.
What do you think of the use of paralleling the two women's lives in this book?
So I liked it. And, like, I don't think it was totally necessary that Carly work at the Sundown. I think that her doing that meant that she got to kind of spiral towards insanity like Viv did because of the, like, motel waking up and
expression
Betty
walking her a mile in her shoes.
Yeah. And because Betty was haunting the motel for so long. What I thought was really interesting is that nothing had changed in this motel. And so you really did have Carly reliving everything that Viv did.
It's like this twilight zone of a hotel.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, the one that got me, the ghost, you know, out of all the ghosts, the one that freaked me out the most
the kid?
Was the, no, the okay. smoker.
Yeah.
The smoker. The fresh cigarette smoke. Mm-hmm. I associate it with my birth father. I smoking. So, like, no. Mm-hmm. I got the willies now just thinking of it.
Yeah. What was interesting to me is that, so the smoking man was the guy who worked in the office mm-hmm. and he died in that office of heart failure.
Yeah.
Like a year after the boy died in the swimming pool.
And nobody found him for like a couple days.
I know. And those two died at the motel. Betty did not die at the motel. Betty's
she
body
was
dumped at the motel. And it wasn't even a motel yet. It was like, it was a construction site.
Yeah.
So Betty haunting that motel was purely out of spite.
I really think that's the keystone too in these, mm-hmm. all these other ghosts. Mm-hmm. I think her vengeance as a ghost and her unfinished business sparked this need to stir other souls.
Yeah.
You know?
I have to say, I know this is jumping ahead, but I said that nothing had changed at the sundown. And then at the very end,
the entire
building is moldy and run down. That is absolutely, Betty was somehow preserving the motel until
like everything was solved. Modernize it. Like he couldn't put new keys in it. He couldn't put keyless door entrance. He couldn't put in
computers.
Wi-Fi. He couldn't put in freaking wireless phones. They had to have a landline.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phones don't work in there.
But they work outside the motel. Carly's phone works in her car,
but not
in the motel.
Not in the physical. It's so wild.
Yeah.
Oh, goosebumps. Goosebumps.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The brilliance of this story is there. It just, there. It scared the shit out of me. I was having nightmares.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Speaking of nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
In this novel, no matter the year, 1982 or 2017, you feel this wariness towards male characters, no matter their position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did the author do this on purpose to the readers, mm-hmm. to dig into the theme of the true darkness of our world?
Mm-hmm. None of the men, even the ones that are quote unquote good in here, there's Nate, who's the man living in the motel, right? That's his
right.
name.
Right. And he can only sleep at the sundown.
Even he has a really troubled past and is not totally trustworthy. And then the man that Viv befriends at the motel is a drug dealer.
Yes.
So even the good men in this book are sketchy as fuck.
Yes. And I mean, Jamie helps. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But like, everybody, and I get that, like, everybody has a dark past. Everybody has secrets. Mm-hmm. But, like, every man in this book has to have a villain origin story.
Yeah. I mean, even, like, the police officers that are men are, like, really shitty.
Yeah. I mean, they force the only woman cop to be knights.
But they're even shitty.
Not safe for women.
They're even shitty in 2017 to the women.
Fucking small towns, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I live in one. I mean, my town is Stars Hollow, so, like, it's mostly a safe place. But I got pulled over by a cop here because one of my six headlights was out. The other five were working. And then I got accused of stealing the car because it was in my husband's name.
Right. Right.
And I was like, good sir.
Obviously.
Women can't own property.
I forgot. It's 1952. This book is scary in two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
The motel is haunted AF. Mm-hmm. Like,
three
break
ghosts.
Out the stage.
Well, actually, there's four ghosts.
Four. I'm sure there was more. We just didn't get that far down in the hotel lobby. And we have a man who is killing women in the 80s just because he can't.
Because he can't. He literally says that's why he's doing it.
What do you think of the mirroring of the horror in this? Like, real life terror compared to these midnight hauntings. Like, the doors flying open, all of it. Yeah. Like,
so that stuff didn't scare me. What scared me was, like, the legit realistic stuff. It's like when we read the 13th juror, the 13th something. 13.
It was just 13.
By Steve Cavanaugh.
Yeah.
That story really scared the shit out of me, too. There are zero ghosts. There's just a fucking crazy man murdering people.
And
the image of that man, like, crawling on the floor after, like, his kneecaps have been shot out, that still haunts me.
Still going, even though they're killed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people are really resilient in that way, and that's fucking creepy.
And I know that you had said, because I told you off pod that I thought this was the scariest book we had read. And I know you had said that you thought the Mexican Gothic was scarier.
Gothic fucked me up.
Mexican Gothic was scary, but again, it's not real. The real stuff scares me more.
I am much more petrified of Freddy Krueger than I am Jason. Even though Jason's a real person running around with a knife, like Scream, I find that funny.
No.
Final Destination, Pair of Petrified. The math doesn't matter.
Everybody
math, just
in
there.
Our generation is afraid of Final Destination. You can tell the millennials because we won't fucking drive behind a truck that has logs on it. We're like, no, fuck that.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
I will pull off the side of the road and wait so other people can be following that truck. Your girl can sit. I'm not getting patience. Behind it. That's not how I go. I know.
I had one more caveat to this question.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the fact that the door-to-door salesman is always described very nondescript?
Yeah,
male?
That he should.
What, like, why are we, why is she doing this? Like, what do you think the process, the thought bubble was behind that?
Because that's how he gets away with it. That's how he gets away with it. He actually tells Viv, I bet you don't remember me. Like, yeah. Or do you remember me? And listen, these serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
Historically have been the everyday person.
Yep.
And being nondescript like that and being able to go, you know, in the shadows and being somebody like he seems like he's really friendly and nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his job is literally going into people's homes and selling them products.
Yeah.
Like he's supposed to be a guy that you feel like you can trust.
Yeah. And you know, and I think she did that on purpose, right?
Oh, absolutely.
She described him as like a all-American dad back then, mm-hmm. right? He's mm-hmm. just an everyday Joe in the 80s. Mm-hmm. He looks like every other guy, white guy in the 80s.
Yep.
And let me tell you what, that still goes today.
Yep.
We were talking about this, the Dougs on freaking Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. All the fucking Dougs on Love is Blind. You know what yeah. I mean?
This like, season's just... not it. Did you ever read The Lovely Bones?
I liked The Lovely Bones.
The Lovely Bones was so good. It was a great was also, story. Did you see also, the movie?
It was a long time ago with Stanley Tucci.
It was one of the worst adaptations I've ever seen. It was right up there with My Sister's Keeper. But Stanley Tucci was who I wanted to reference here.
Okay.
That is who I kept picturing as our door-to-door salesman.
Because
he played that character in The Lovely Bones so well that he was just the everyday next door guy that everybody knew, but he didn't really stand out. And he was murdering people. Like that's
Stanley
totally
Tucci,
what I was picturing.
He was on this Netflix show.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a UK show though, that was very limited, and he was in jail as like a killer.
Uh-huh.
And the craziness that he pulled out. Uh-huh. Oh my God. I'll put it in the dilly doos.
I don't think people realize how truly talented Stanley Tucci is because if you've only seen him in certain roles, like he's
one of my favorite character actors.
He reminds me so much of Robin Williams. I know that they're in the same like generation. Robin Williams really played funny very well, but he also played evil really well.
Yeah.
And
oh,
Stanley
yeah.
Tucci
what was
that?
One with the pictures, the memento, was it? No, not memento.
1 hour photo.
1 hour photo. That fucking, I couldn't watch Robin Williams movies mm-hmm. for a long time. It scared mm-hmm. the shit out of me. I was petrified of that man.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, men can be scary. It just depends on the right window, I guess. Depends on the right window. Give them the right context. Not all men are scary.
I know.
Not all men are scary.
I know.
In the end of this book, the pace picks up fast and we jump between 1982 and 2017 pretty quickly. This is like when like they start feeling the paranoia and mm-hmm. like nobody's sleeping and mm-hmm. things are coming to a hedge for Viv as uh-huh. she keeps digging into the salesman's life. Mm-hmm. Carly seems to have too many people interested in what she's got going on. Like all of a sudden everybody's interested in what Carly's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But by this point, I was super anxious.
Mm-hmm.
These women do what every girl's in slasher films shouldn't do. They keep looking.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Were you surprised neither stepped away from their investigations?
No.
Even though they were getting warnings all over the place?
So Viv tried to hand it over to the cops. She tried.
Oh,
she went to Alma and she said, here's what I found. And Alma says, you need to get me something.
Right. This isn't enough.
This isn't enough. These men who are running the police station, who are going to be running murder investigations, they're going to look at this and they're going to tell you one of these has already been solved. And there's no way that the other ones are connected.
Yep. They're going to say you're crazy.
And
go away, little girl.
To be fair, the way that he was killing didn't fit the normal profiles of
what we
they all have something killers. In common. It was they did have something in common, but it wasn't on the surface.
It was him.
The thing they had in common was that they were all alone.
Mm-hmm. Opportunity, man.
Mm-hmm.
The one that creeped me out for him the most was she just didn't know how much I loved her. That's the Betty. Creepy one.
That's his first
That's
one.
That's the fucking creepy one.
No, I could see how he was getting more aggressive and dark. His fourth victim is a teenager. And that's the first time he targeted a woman almost, who was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, going to her high school is insane.
Yeah.
Going to her high school is insane.
Yeah.
Carly finds See, this is what
freaked me out.
Right. 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 Carly finds Vivian's car. And when they open the trunk, it's a man's body.
Yeah.
Carly's disappointed, obviously. But when they opened it, did you already know who it was?
Mm-hmm.
Same.
I actually texted you a few chapters before this. And spoilers here, folks. But if you don't know, we give spoilers. Unless it's a new book. We always do this. I texted you a few chapters before and said, I have a suspicion that Viv is alive and Alma, and I cannot think the other woman's name, helped her hide the body because she's the one that killed him.
And I just did this.
Wrote back sealed zip lip. And I was like, no. No, I wasn't surprised at all. I like how Carly finds out, like the unveiling where she just goes, I think my aunt did something very, very bad.
Right. She, you know, and she instantly went, oh shit, what did she do? Right? Yeah. Like you can just see her switch from my aunt's a victim to, oh fuck, my aunt did something bad.
Yeah.
This is when we flash back to Viv's last night, right? Mm-hmm. They frame this in the beginning of the book as this is when Vivian goes missing. So we assume she dies, right? Mm-hmm. That's how like the book is set up. Mm-hmm. We flash back to 1982 and watch Vivian's last night working at the Sundown Motel. Were you prepared for what happened in room 212? 212.
I wasn't surprised. I, at that point, knew that I was right, that she had killed him. And wasn't surprised at all that the other two women helped her hide his body and helped her run away. What was the big trigger that like, I kind of had a feeling the whole book that was going to be the case because her body is never found because there's never, you know, whatever.
Nobody seemed to fucking care that Vivian was missing.
Huh?
Nobody seemed to give a shit that Vivian was missing.
Right. But what really was the trigger was when Heather, that was her roommate, right? Carly's roommate.
Yeah.
Says there was another girl who died the night that Viv went missing. I was like, okay, so either she followed him and saw him attack the other girl and then retaliated, or she killed him at the motel. And it made more sense that it was at the motel because he's the fourth ghost, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that's checked into a room, but never actually in that room. And the nights when he, quote unquote, checks in are the nights that Betty wakes up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, okay. So I thought at first this story was going to, I thought Carly was going to be, get her ending like her aunt's. And I thought we were going to get dual death stories because we get that note from Heather leaving, right? Heather's like, I need a timeout from this. I need to go home. I'm going to go be with my parents for 4 days. Well, that's what fucking Vivian's parent roommate did. So I was like, Jesus Christ, both these girls are going to be dead. And we're going to be reading the story about a new girl digging into these deaths at the hotel.
I knew that wouldn't be the case. I knew this was the redemption story. This is the story. Where someone survives.
It was just the paranoia, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was the point of the author doing that.
Well, and you see Viv and Carly, it's not just the ghosts that are making them feel paranoid and all this. It's they don't even know when they're sleeping. Like they're not sure if they're asleep or awake because it's like Inception.
Yes.
Am I dreaming or not? Do I need to spin the little top? Like, what's going on?
Right. Oh, my God. You would think that this is how the book ends.
But no. It's not.
The shit gets crazier.
Mm-hmm.
Carly learns that the body is the salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And things keep getting weirder and weirder as she starts digging at the sundown. Until one of the men that's been helping Carly turns on her. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I did. I 100% knew that was going to happen.
Did you expect
I knew he was going to not be all right. It just was the way that, I mean, I'm a librarian.
It was way too interested in what she was working on.
I shouldn't think libraries are freaky because I'm a librarian, but the idea that he's just kind of hanging around the library and his mom works at the college. And what surprised me was not that he tries to attack Carly. What surprised me was the connection between him and the salesman, which is that he's his grandson.
So that's why I thought I had a feeling like him and the salesman had a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling was, is he was going to be just as.
Oh yeah, I thought he was
as his grandpa.
I thought he was the next town murderer.
Oh, me too. And I thought Carly.
But I didn't figure out the connection. Like that, they. I guess it makes sense because we do learn that the salesman has a daughter, and so he wouldn't have the same name as the salesman because
who fucking helped Viv? She was like, "Get out of here! He's coming!" Like, even his kid knew he was scary. That's insane. That we're not even touching on that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you expect all that violence at the end? Did you expect the hotel? Okay.
But I didn't expect that only, what is the guy's name that helps her with the newspaper?
Oh, and Jesus Christ. Keep talking. I'll look.
It's one of your questions.
I know, but I don't have, it's not Nick. It's the other one.
You Graham? Have his name in there. Is it Jamie?
Jamie. Jamie is the drug dealer.
Okay.
Oh, Nick is the one that was sleeping at the hotel.
I have too many books in my head right now. Okay. Well, anyway.
I'm looking. Keep going.
The guy who helps her, who goes crazy in the end and is the grandson of the murderer. I didn't think he would be the only one to die. I thought that he and Nick would both die.
I thought so too.
I didn't see anyone surviving that. This is not on your question list, but I want to talk about this.
Okay.
There is a scene in which Viv is experiencing Betty's wake up and all the ghosts and all the things, and Alma's there.
And Callum.
Callum is the grandson. When Alma is there and she witnesses the ghost activity.
Oh my God.
And Viv calls her on that shit because she's like, you can't tell me that you don't know that Betty is still there because you saw it.
Those motherfuckers ain't real.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now. No.
Those motherfuckers aren't real.
Not real.
I feel that.
Yeah. And she's like, Alma, I don't understand how you can't see this. Like, you were there. And Carly has a similar experience because Nate is seeing all the paranormal activity.
And he's like, let's get the fuck out of
here. What the fuck is happening?
And he's like, don't worry about it. It's just the hotel.
No, he doesn't like it either. But he had been living there for so long that it wasn't the first time he experienced it.
It was all the doors opening for me. It was like,
mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck?
The one door that would never close.
Okay. In the end, Viv is still alive and she turns herself in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think this is how the book would end?
No. I mean, I knew that she was, I figured out that she was still alive. She turned herself in because at that point it wouldn't matter. Even if she stood trial, she was now dying of cancer.
Right.
Just like her sister did, just like her mother did. She had survived cancer once, but now she was terminal. And so turning herself in was just like, people can have closure because I did this, but she probably wouldn't see jail time.
She was in jail in the end.
No, but I mean, prison, hard prison time.
Right.
At the very least, she would have been put in a medical facility.
Right.
And to live out her days. Like, she wasn't long for the world.
She wasn't like a violent criminal.
Mm-mm.
This was one violent act.
The thing that we don't get an answer to is how the other two women, I know that she keeps saying, I was the only one that did it. But any detective worth their salt is going to figure out that
they have no evidence. But they have no evidence. Right.
I know, which is crazy because they were able to use DNA in 2017 to connect him to all the other murders. So how was there no DNA in the car? How?
The cop was a good cop.
She was a good cop.
I'll give you a bell for that one. So I'm just at final thoughts. April Goodreads, did I miss anything?
I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. I stand by that rating. It probably for somebody that liked this, you gave it higher, right? You gave it 4.5.
Yeah.
So somebody that likes this genre is going to really, I was actually looking through the Goodreads ratings and our friend Heather Bookables she read this and rated it, I think 5 stars and was saying that it was like her favorite thriller of the year. Again, this is a genre she reads. She bounces between thriller and romance. That's like her main.
Heather, whatever keeps you cooking.
I mean, two sides of the coin, man. But for me, it's not something I like. And I would have rather just had the ghosts and not the realistic idea of a man killing women because he can.
Yeah.
That's the part of the book that scared me. I don't care about the ghosts. The ghosts were fine. Betty telling Vivian to run, the way the audiobook narrator did that kind of was freaky.
Run.
I mean, that was freaky. But, oh, I got chills. But it's just like the puppet from Grady Hendrix, Cock-a-wee-wee. Like, it's only so scary.
Did you see Grady post the other day? Somebody has a license plate that says Pupkin.
Mm-hmm. I was like,
what the fuck?
No, don't do that. Don't do that. But anyway, yeah, for me, it was not my favorite book.
Yeah.
But again, if you put her on pod, she's not one I'm going to object to because I know she's good. Like, her writing is really strong.
Yeah. And we're not just talking about the book. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. We're not just talking about the content. We're talking about real life things that pull feelings out of us in this. And like, that's huge.
Like, if you were to ask to put Corinne Slaughter on again, I probably would be like, I don't want to cover her again because there was just a vulgarity that really turned my stomach with that.
Yeah.
But Simone St. James can fucking write.
That's for sure.
And she has many other books. So, I mean, if you put her back on the pod, I would not veto her. But again, not my cup of tea. Right. Gave me nightmares.
Right. But again, genre fluid here. So
genre fluid. We have to do it.
Genre fluid. So you want to talk about what's next week?
Sure. So next week we are reading A Tempest of Tea by Hafsa Fazel. I did look up how to say her name.
Hafsa Fazel.
I got it. Hafsa Fazel.
Hafsa.
But this book, gorgeous cover. I mean, that's just what attracted me to this book anyway. It is YA. It's a paranormal fantasy kind of vibes, magic stuff.
I love it.
But it's blurbed by Rebecca Ross, Marissa Meyer, Allie Hazelwood, and Holly Black.
You know, no big.
No big deal. But just some amazing writers. So that's what we have coming up. We're going to end the month with our good friend Emma Berry coming back to talk about her newest book, Bold Moves, which I actually have right here, the ARC copy. We got ARCs because we're reading this before it comes out. Actually,
we're cooler than you guys.
That's not nice. There are plenty of people who watch this, listen to the show who get a lot more swag than we do.
Where? Here in this box. Have I ever said I was nice?
I don't think you've ever in your life said you were nice.
I'm kind. I'm helpful. That's
not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Mm-mm. I have a good heart, but I will.
The truth is that you're not as mean as you could be.
And you guys should be fucking grateful.
That's true.
Not her. I'm talking to you fuckers.
Stop calling our fans fuckers.
Okay, all right, I won't call them. I don't got anything else, guys.
That's all we've got. We'll see you next week. See you next
week.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.